to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello, my name is Shane Eidelman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Eidelman Unplugged.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Eidelman Unplugged. I am your host, Luke Duncan, and on this episode of Eidelman Unplugged, we will be featuring Pastor Shane and his wife, Morgan, from a recent question and answer session about marriage held at Westside Christian Fellowship. This segment is part one of a three-part series, so be sure to listen to the other segments after you've finished listening to this episode.
What we wanted to do is do something we haven't done before, and that is talk about marriage, Q&A, be transparent, at the same time honest, and our goal and our hope is to help marriages out there because we are no different than any other marriage out there, but we do try to put Christ at the center. And so we've got the top 21 questions. We're going to try to get through them quickly, but we don't want to rush. So I actually we might have to do part two in the future, or we might answer them on a podcast, audio. We can just, if we don't get to all of them, we want to try to get to all of them. So we need to start. So with that said, I'm going to have my beautiful wife, Morgan, come up. And when God called us, when he didn't just call me, he calls the team. And you see what goes on the front burner, not what goes on in the back burner of this. And she's just been a tremendous blessing. If God calls a man, he has to call the woman to the same type of responsibility and helping to lead a church. And so I'm just excited that we can open up a little bit. It's our 17-year anniversary was last weekend, and that went by quick. And there are people here who have been married longer. They do things better, and I wish that they would come up and do a Q&A at some point. But also, Brant and Tiffany, your anniversary is today, right? What a way to spend it. So let's sit down. What do you think? We're going to go back and forth on the questions. And if you have questions, you can jot them down. And if we do a part two or we answer the audio, we'll try to get to those as well, so we don't want to leave anyone out. But let me just start, get right to it. For Morgan, first question. Being protective or guarding your relationship with Shane should be a normal emotion or feeling, but how do you handle or rein in not becoming overcome with jealousy when Shane has so many people tugging at him and pulling him in different directions all the time? Whew! No holding back on that one.
Hi, Shaylee. For that, I think there's many situations in all of our lives where we look at someone else's life and say, I could never do that. That would just be way too much. And that's true until you have to do it. And that's when I think God's grace kicks in. So in the past, before we ever started Westside, I would have said, there's no way. That's just no. And then God called us to start Westside, mm-hmm. and the grace was sufficient at the time it needed to be. I can honestly say I could probably count on both hands in the last 9 years the times that I've been frustrated where he was maybe doing something else than what I thought he should have been doing with us. I don't feel like he's married to the church like I know some pastors' wives do, but I think that in part is due to setting up boundaries from the get-go. So he is busy, and there are a lot of people needing his time. So I don't know, maybe God just gave me the grace. I'm a little independent, too, so
That helps.
You know, I mean, I like him around, don't get me wrong.
I could chime in a little bit, too, because yeah. I thank God he called me at 40 and not 24, because in my 20s is when I really learned about putting first things first and prioritizing, and I was able to exercise that then planting the church and really, because if your family's not healthy, the marriage isn't healthy, it's going to affect the ministry, it's going to affect the church. So that has to be the priority as far as the health of the marriage, the health of the relationship, and she's flexible though, like she said, a lot of grace. You know, I've had to leave with shorts on and flip-flops and go to the hospital or leave dinner or leave an event, basketball or baseball or different things. Not basketball, baseball, gymnastics. And you know, so there's flexibility there, but I think you hit the nail on the head.
But that's probably when I, of those, you know, times that I could count, things like
closer,
that is probably when it's having to do with the kids more. So it's kind of like, oh, I can handle if it's me, but if it starts involving the kids and I feel like they're in any way being neglected, I think that's when it's more difficult. I'd say the hardest thing in that point would be the phone, because the phone just goes off like, 150, 200 texts, emails a day. Mm-hmm. Was I supposed
right
to say
in
that?
Right in there somewhere.
A lot.
Yeah. We're trying to figure out how to utilize the phone better. But no, yeah, that's a tough one right now. I just don't want you feel guilty if you text
not
me.
Not at all. No.
Well, it's actually what I need to do is put it down more in the garage or a spare room or something and have time with the kids and then go back to work time and do it that way. And also our hope is in all of this is to show you how we've relied on Jesus and point you to that foundation. And we'll get to some questions here that might even shed more light on that. But this one's for me. There has to be disagreements within the marriage. So Shane, how do you handle a situation when Morgan does not back down or feel she is right, but you know, you guys didn't mess around. Boy, I was hoping for easy ones. So how do you handle a situation when Morgan does not back down and feels that she is right, but you know you are right? Do you give in?
Does that ever happen?
Do you give in? Do you walk away? Do you talk till she agrees with you? Do you listen to Morgan's side or point? How much time do we have? Well, looking at this, I would have to say this is probably a major issue where, you know there's something major. And I can think of a few where just as a husband, you know, when I don't want to go into a lot of detail, but we were considering having someone live with us to help out this person. And I just felt really strongly and she didn't agree. And we collided for a little while on that one, but we talked it through, worked it out. So do I listen to Morgan's side or get her point? Yes. Try to hear both sides. So we don't have, I don't know if we have a lot of things that would fit in this category. She feels she's right, I'm feeling I'm right. You know, we talk through things and we say, okay, what's your point of view? Where are you trying to come from? Because once you talk a little bit more, you understand that maybe you didn't see it the way they saw it. And you're trying to relate a little bit better. So it depends on what the issue is. If I know, I'm like in this case, I felt that for the safety of our family, you know, I just couldn't back down. I think I told her that. I said, I'm not wiggling on this. There's no wiggle room on this one. But I think listening to them, being compassionate, and this doesn't happen too often. I think this was 8 years ago when that happened.
Yeah, big issues don't happen too often. The smaller ones, I feel like you do listen, and then, you know, kind of, if it's not a hill to die on for him, he'll kind of default if he feels like it's going to be more peaceful maybe or something.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you one thing that was kind of... it's something we actually didn't argue over it a little bit, but I have I want to have a goal to pay off our house in 10 years, and that's not going to work unless, you know, we budget certain things and certain money goes to it. And she's more on wanting it now for the kids stuff. And hey, what's a 30-year loan? You know? So I have this plan of paying it off and that way financially more stable. And if something were to happen to me, the family's set and they're stable. So I kind of explained it. I broke down, you know, $125,000 in interest you're saving. We just have a tract home in Palmdale. You look at the interest and how much, you know, we can make an attempt at this. We can be debt-free from our home in 10 years, and I'll be turning 60. I can't believe I'm saying that. 59 is my goal. So I hope. I wish we could take a lot more time, but do you give in sometimes? Do you walk away? Usually, you know, I'll say, you know, I'm just going to go on a drive and maybe run up to the church, listen to some worship music, and just get your mind clear. Because you don't want to go at it when you're angry, and you can feel that irritability rising up. We're pretty good about, she'll go do something, you know, a shopping at Walmart usually fixes it, and I'll go on a drive. In light of Ephesians 5, 22 and 28, that's the passage that talks about husbands loving your wives. Shane, can you speak on loving your wife? And Morgan, can you speak on respecting? Oh no, the S word. Submitting to your husband. Yeah. So I'll let you.
I'm going to be long-winded if you want to start. This will probably be my longest answer.
So can you speak on loving your wife? You know, when I see how much Christ did for me, and I think the gift of marriage, and it's a daily dying to self, to me that's what it is, loving your wife as Christ loved the church. So it's not about me, not about my day, my agenda. She'll tell you, and I'm not just saying this because I do it, but I do a lot of the dishes or vacuum or fix meals just to help out. You know, love. I have the time. Abram, you did that recently. Yeah, so it's a way of loving them. So to define that, it means to me not doing what I want to do, but what does the family need? Now, in saying that, I have not mastered this area, but that's what it means for me to love my wife and put the needs of the family first, and then we'll go into the next part here for you.
Yeah. He's so sweet. He really cooks the meals because I can't cook very well.
Some things are really good.
I try.
Quesadillas.
I pray. Cereal. It's so bad. No,
that's
but
okay.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I have other gifts, okay?
Well, it's funny because you felt a lot of pressure coming into the ministry.
Oh,
like,
big time.
I don't cook and I don't play a piano and sing. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed
that's
to do?
That's what pastor's wives do.
You know?
Yeah.
So God just, but yeah, there's so many other, many of you, the women that know her and have spent time with her, just incredible person for encouraging and mentoring younger women. And so God has gifted you very much so in areas that are far more important than plant-based quesadillas. All right.
Okay.
Submitting.
Anyway,
and respecting.
Submitting. Okay. So that's a big question. And a lot of women don't like that word. So I'm not sure why or how we got there, but we can thank the women came before us and kind of turned that into a bad word. And then the church fell for that lie that it's a bad word and it should not be something to be rejoicing in. And before I fully, you know, kind of exhaust the answer, you should know I'm not one of those like naturally submissive, quiet women. Some people are, and it's amazing. That's just more of kind of their nature. It's not necessarily mine. So when I answer this question, I don't want you to feel like it's coming from someone who this comes easy for. So you should know that ahead of time. But
can I set this up a little bit?
No, don't do it. I know what you're going to say. Yeah, you can.
When we both made had a, our past wasn't that great.
This is so bad.
But you can clarify if I'm wrong. It won't be bad. But you're engaged to a guy, and you became a Christian. Then I think when you're younger, like in your teen, maybe 17, 18 years, you'd say, I don't want some guy telling me what to do. So that stuck with me, you know.
I don't remember saying that, but he swears I said it.
But, and it's really not, well, yeah, I'll let you explain it. But it's your personality is not a naturally, which is a good person. It's a good character trait because of that fight. I'm getting my foot out of my mouth. It's that good fight and, you know, that type A, but you're not type A either. It's just that strong personality you need to have in ministry. You have to have 2-inch-thick skin to really to be in ministry. So with that though, that strong personality comes not
right.
wanting to submit.
Yeah.
By nature.
Right. So it doesn't come easily, but I don't read anywhere where it says submit if it comes easily, and so I don't feel like I get a pass just because my personality might be a little, you know, more loud or boisterous or whatever. I don't get a pass from Scripture and what Scripture tells us. So there's just a lot. I feel like a lot of times as women, we hear that word and we get mad and I'm not going to, you know, some guy telling me what to do or whatever. But it always kind of baffles me when we look at, you know, we can look at the beach and see, or the ocean and this beautiful, God's beautiful creation. Or we can look at a forest of trees and, oh my gosh, isn't that a beautiful thing that God made? Or we can look
Keep
at our children.
Close. Keep it up close.
Yeah. Oh, can you hear me? Yeah. Or we look at our children and see, you know, oh, they're just so beautiful and God's creation. But then we look at this way that God set up marriage and we say, that part is not beautiful. But it is when we're applying it. So when you've got a man leading by example and by love and not, you know, with an iron fist, yes, because that's important. It would be a lot harder to submit for sure to someone who is not a good leader. Not giving an excuse to not do your part, but I can see where it would be harder. And then, of course, if this isn't even, I mean, it would take a whole nother topic to talk on abuse and different things like that coming into play. So this answer is covering assuming
not in
that
our relationship. We should clarify that.
Yeah. No, I just mean in general, if there's a home where there's abuse going on and stuff, I'm not by any means saying, you know, lay down and submit, woman, and all that. So I think you guys understand that, but just
and the
in
context
case.
is husbands love your wives.
Yeah.
And wives respect, so it's that mutual understanding of.
And when it's a cycle, and both parties are doing what they're supposed to do, it's just a beautiful thing. Not always easy, but we're not promised easy. But it is a beautiful thing. And so I feel like there's so much of the blame game. We'll all submit when he loves. We'll all love when she submits. Well, no, God's word tells you to do you. They're gonna do them, and if they're not, then you're praying. And you're waiting. Meanwhile, you're obeying, and that's the best that we can do.
Like my mom said, the checklist, you know, or don't compare.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's one of the biggest things she sees in counseling too. Is blaming the other person, comparing. Why did this? Why make the money? And see, nobody's wanting to take that. You're right. The Bible puts it right back on us, regardless of how the other person is acting. Many times.
Yeah, it's not a suggestion. I found. The hard way. Scripture is not just a nice little idea. It's
and
like,
for all you wondering, our first year was the hardest.
Are we allowed to say, like, probably not. Never mind.
No, I mean, it was the hardest as far as we both thought about a divorce, you know, for sure, the first year. Because you realize how selfish you are. Yeah. And it was a hard first year. We thought about it, but we knew we couldn't because of the scriptural course. And then marriage is often a tool like no other tool that God will use to really humble you and to break you. And I remember I shared this with some of you, it's many years ago now, that she left her journal open, and it talked about me being a controlling man with finances and not letting the kids do a lot. And I was like, oh, I left there mad, but I was broken. Like, what are you talking about? And as a man, seeing my dad go through the recession with construction, losing everything almost, and I've been more of that penny pincher, you know. So no, they're not going to do this. No, we can't do this. No, we can't, you know, because you're living on a budget. But it started to hinder people's dreams and what they wanted to do. And so I had to learn from that. Like, okay, well, let them do what they want to do in a budget, you know, and be more humble about that. And so that was my whole point, not to take away from this point, but is to let marriage humble you and conform you and shape you and break off those hard areas of pride and self-centeredness. And that's when we're confronted with those things, we need to change those things.
Yeah, for sure. Another point too, for the women, if that is more of a struggle and it's, you know, you say the word submission or respect and you just hear it on the face, you hear it and you see it on the faces. And I just think, what if the man by our side was going, oh, I have to love my wife? What a horrible plot in life to have to love her. But that's what they hear when we're saying, oh, I have to respect you. And it's the biggest thing for a man. And I think that's why God put it in here, men, love your wives. Wives, respect, submit your husbands, because we're not going to naturally do it. I mean, some people may be a little more prone to it in general, but by and large, it's not going to come very natural. And so he's telling us for our own good, this is what works best. A two-headed monster is a very ugly thing. There has to be someone taking the lead. And to me, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are times when I go down punching and I don't want to. But I feel like I have grown at least in 17 years. For me, it's
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for me, I don't... It's kind of like, okay, when it all falls apart, it ain't my fault. Go on with your bad self. You make that call, you know? Luckily, he's often hearing from the Lord, so I can trust his leading. So that was kind of a joke, kind of not, because I do trust when it comes down to it, even when it's something that I don't particularly like, with the house payment, for instance. Probably not something I would choose to do at this point, but I can see the wisdom in it, and so I'm not going to kick and scream about it, and I trust him, and I trust that God is leading. So I'll bow out. You know what I mean? Also, for, I think the women almost have it, well, I can't, that might be taken wrong. I wouldn't want to be the man. I'll just say that right now. I would way rather be the woman. I don't want to have to provide for an entire family. I don't want to have to try and lead an entire family. I don't want to have to try and protect an entire family. That's like beyond what God created me to do. And so I want him to operate in his full gifting and what God has called him to do. And for him to be able to do that, I need to come underneath that.
Yeah, and like there are, if there are things she doesn't agree with, she'll voice that. And why she doesn't agree with it. I've changed course in regard to like the kids probably. You know, the kids with schooling or they're needing, this isn't gonna work. You know, we gotta do this. And there's probably many examples we could give on this.
I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one.
If you've enjoyed this segment of Idleman Unplugged, be sure to send us your topics and questions for future episodes of the podcast. You can shoot us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneidleman.com. Again, my name is Luke Duncan, and I am your host of Idleman Unplugged. Thank you for listening to us today, and join us again on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Idleman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at shaneidleman.com. Again, that's shaneidleman.com. El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality in Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must-read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.